Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this episode of Blue Collar BS with your co-host Brad and
Steve.
There you go.
Yeah,
there we got go, right Mr. today. Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, we got what it right.
What is happening today, brother?
You know, the sun's shining, cold as hell. So, you know, it's good days. It's good days.
That's nice.
That's nice how it's Michigan supposed to be. Weather. Early February. That's the way it's supposed to be.
That's
did you guys
right.
get hit with all the snow and shit?
Nope.
Well,
not that I'm aware. I mean, I didn't, but I haven't checked the news. Went to some clients, had no issues driving. But they sure as hell did cancel school because everybody got scared. So,
snowflakes.
Like, whatever.
Whatever. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, you know, right? Pre-planning. Now, some of that makes if it was cold enough, I could understand, particularly for bus stops. And,
no, it's in the 20s. But, suck it up, little kids. You can get to school.
Wow. Wow. You might be jumping generations here. You might be going from millennial to boomer very quickly with that attitude.
Let's go.
So today's topic, Stephen, now you're coming into this cold. So I just got done literally a half hour, 45 minutes ago with a lunch from one of our previous guests on the show. And she brought up a very interesting topic.
Yep.
On wage expectations based on roles and different things.
Roles?
Yeah. So small business, right? Smaller business. Or she's it's, let's just use a business doing a range between, we'll pick one from 500,000 to maybe $1.5 million, right?
Whatever. Sure.
3 to 7 employee type scenario, right? And usually you get a unicorn in there or whatever, and they're doing the work, and you pay them a little more and you do the thing. And then all of a sudden it comes to the end of the year and it's review time.
Oh, the draft. Well, time out. We're going to do reviews in small businesses. Okay. I mean,
well, and compensation. So,
oh, okay.
So,
again, are we dealing with a unicorn business here?
No, just pick anybody. It could be windows, doors, and more. It could be the flooring guy. It could be a concrete person. Sure. It could be a small electrical company. It doesn't really matter.
Got it.
It could be a small machine shop.
Yep.
Because it doesn't matter, right? This is a leadership question and potential owner question and conversation. Perfect. For those that may have some employees, and how do you deal with this, right? So, You start your business, you go forward, you get the people that are there, you don't want to lose them, so you pay them more, and then all of a sudden you get to the point where, this you don't deserve any more money. You're maxed out. Yep. So my question for you, Mr. Doyle, is for our audience, how or what suggestions do you have for our listeners to phrase that conversation, position the business as this is a business decision, not a personal vendetta against the individual, to demonstrate that you're kind of already at the top of the pay range.
Right.
And and how do you demonstrate that, how to get more? So that's kind of the conversation I wanted to have today, is how do we position those expectations and things from a role and separate out and create meaningful conversations, and not "you just don't like me, you're such an asshole" conversations.
Right. So you kind of asked me two separate questions.
Well, there's lots of questions buried in that thing.
So the two that I heard is, hey, you're maxed out, but how can you make more?
That's one of them.
Essentially. So let's break that into two parts here. So let's talk about, you're at the top, and you know, what are we going to talk about from a bonus standpoint, a bonus payout standpoint? Because we got other employees. Yeah, I'd rather pay them a little bit more on their bonus. You, I've already paid out.
Well, you're assuming there's a bonus program as well. So that's an assumption.
Well, you said that we were going to do something at the end of the year for, you know, bonus or merit or whatever.
Hmm. You're like, are we married? Because you didn't listen to a word I said, did you?
Your word.
the good thing is it's on tape. So
yeah,
right. I don't think I said bonus anywhere in there.
You said something like that. At least that's what I thought I heard. Something like that. At least that's what I thought I heard. So that's what I'm going to go with.
And this is why you have a dog.
So this is why we're going to go down this route. So you're at the top. Your end comes up. Employees expecting some kind of some additional compensation.
They're expecting the end of the year raise to come into play.
End of the year raise. Okay. So I'm going to make a very general sweeping assumption is that there was a very frank conversation had when the employee was hired about their current, their compensation coming in that, hey, we are paying you above where we normally would, knowing that you are performing at this level. No,
let's put some more context around that. It was a, hey, they came in, they did good, right? We started at entry level. Did well, accelerated, received massive acceleration very fast because there was, they were performing as well as the fear of losing.
Okay.
Right. From the owner's viewpoint, right? Because it was busy and I can't afford to lose somebody that knows about the things in our business. And I'm confident our listeners go through this all time.
Because of that fear. So high probability there were no discussions on expectations when
100%.
There were no discussions on compensation expectations every single time an additional compensation was handed to this person. It was probably viewed as you're doing a great job. Thank you for doing that. We're moving from here to here. Plain and simple.
Fair.
Yep.
That's a fair assumption.
Plain and simple, we have now, as leaders, set ourselves up for this awkward conversation because we didn't set the expectations at the beginning. Hey, when we're providing these additional pay increases, we need to be very transparent with them to say, yeah, I recognize that we are paying you this. This is going to have an impact at end of the year when we're evaluating everybody from a performance standpoint, a structure standpoint, but also we as business owners need to understand where pay ceiling limits are. If we can't do that, we have the foresight and the intestinal fortitude to have those conversations. We should not be putting ourselves into the position to fail when we get to that point, because now we have these unspoken, unmet expectations of the employees expecting more because, hey, guess what? You've already told me 3-4 times this year, I'm a good boy and I got rewarded for it. So now I have this unspoken, unwritten expectation that you're going to provide yet again, another increase because, hey, other people around me are getting them. Why not me? So now I got to be sat down and have that conversation.
So we have created that situation. Perfect. And I'm confident many of our guests have created that situation, or not our guests, but our listeners. So Mr. Big, I went to Michigan University brainchild guy,
really?
Right?
Okay.
Well, really, you did you or did you not?
I did.
Okay, great.
You I'm are just stating a fact. I did do that. Okay. That is correct.
Right. We're in that situation. How do we, what do we do to get out or position ourselves to move forward? Because we can't undo the past. How do we turn the expense of learning, being an entrepreneur and being a small business, what are the things that our audience members can do, to position themselves not to put them in that situation again moving forward, and B, resolve that issue with that particular individual who has been maxed out looking for more, so to speak.
Yeah. So let's talk about what they can do with that person first. And then the rest of it will come into play fairly easily. Right. The number one thing is to sit down and have the conversation with the person. Don't hem and haw around it. Sit down and say, hey, we need to have a conversation around where you currently are with compensation. And actually show them where they are from a compensation standpoint in relationship to their role and what that role earns. Don't need to get into anything else about anyone else, of what they're earning, what they're doing, any of that other bullshit. You need to sit down and have a frank conversation about the role and the expectations, both salary and performance, around that. And there's no wiggle room. It's going to be this way. Yes, you can adjust for inflation and all that other kind of crap that circles around things like that as year over year happens, right?
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this is the salary expectation for this role. And just have a frank conversation. Now, it doesn't need to be cold. You can also give them a heartfelt thank you. But usually they're looking for some level of compensation. Are you okay with a gift card to somewhere for them to go take and do something with? And we're not talking like a $10 or $20 gift card. Are you okay with a $250, a $500 gift card to something?
For what purpose?
Because you, as the business owner, fucked up. You are admitting a mistake that you made, and you have to make, you now need to take an uncomfortable situation and make it right.
How does the gift card make it right?
There is compensation with a gift card of some sort. Doesn't need to be a gift card. It could be a check for an amount, but it is a fixed rate in letting them know that it is not going to be an adjustment in their hourly wages. So,
and why would I do that?
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
What is your fear? What's your number one fear?
No, I'm just asking, why would I do that if they're already maxed out in the role and they are already performing at X level? Why would I do that?
Again, if you're handing out compensation to everyone, it is a gesture of thank you.
So there's an assumption there as well, right?
There is an assumption.
There's an assumption that there's... So, okay. I missed that assumption of, hey, we're giving everything, we're giving out across the board.
Correct.
If you are, I from that point of view, I can agree with you that there's something there to do.
Yep.
Okay. That wasn't necessarily this particular scenario's qualification because it was just end of year reviews. This particular organization does compensation typically Q1 and Q3s, if there is anything to do with that.
Okay, perfect.
So that's why I wanted to ask that. That's why I wanted to get clarification.
Yeah, So if there was not, I have been in this position as an employee. And honestly, it was a very frank conversation. Very, very, there was nothing malicious, no malicious intent. It was just like, hey, you've been performing well. You've gotten performance increases out of cycle. What we recognize is, yes, you recently just got one. So it is, you're going to stay at this rate for a little while now, because you need to continue to demonstrate that, yes, you are now elevated and can sustain this level of performance. There was no other expectations. It was like, nope, we're not. We recognize that you are still performing at these levels. You are performing at high levels, but we're not giving you another raise for that because we just did it a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever that situation happens to be.
Okay.
Because typically people are doing it annually, or, if they don't really review it, some people might not be getting annual raises. They might be getting biannual raises.
Right. Or just whenever they feel like, hey, we made some money this time, I can do it.
Yes,
this point,
exactly.
Because of cash flow situations or whatever might be happening.
Exactly. So it's just sitting down and having that very frank conversation and the realization, helping the employee realize, and if this happened over a year, on your start date, you were here. Maybe it might have been 3 months in, you got a bump. Maybe it might have been at 5 months, you got another bump. At 7 months, you got another bump.
There was a heavy like acceleration over a very short period of time.
Right. Whatever it was.
Very abnormal. And again, I'm confident that we have listeners that have done that with their employees. They may have a service tech that started at X and now they're doing this and this and this, and you gave them because you were afraid and afraid and afraid. But now there's going to be this awkward conversation of, hey, where are we at? What's going on? So how do we frame the opportunity for next level, because many of these organizations, you might have a gentleman or a lady that might be acting as a, I'll call them supervisor, production supervisor or field supervisor or whatever it might be, pseudo managing mm-hmm. people, but really they're more of a team lead than a supervisor. Mm-hmm. And organizationally, you're not going to be able to afford to fill both roles, yeah. right? So what would be your suggestion for taking the or creating the opportunity for person one that might be fulfilling, thinking they're fulfilling a leadership role when the reality is they're right. not, to set expectations for things to do to get portions of that, right? To be able to take away opportunity from the business owner to do things so the business owner can go work on strategy and right. go work on selling more and go yep. work on those other things versus all that stuff. Where would you go with that next piece of the puzzle?
So the next piece of the puzzle, I would be really having that hard conversation with this is purely the business owner looking in the mirror going, do I have all the right roles on my bus? Do I have all the right roles and the right seats on my bus? Right. And if without looking at the person, and this is the hard part for most business owners, correct. Is they continuously look at the person, not at what is needed in the business. And if it's what's needed in the business, I need a hybrid of these two employees, or I need a hybrid of this employee. Right. And that's the role I need to fulfill me as a business owner, taking more time to actually be working on my business, not in my business. Okay, great. What is the criteria for that role? What's the compensation for that role? And can my business sustain that additional role? That's the key question. Can my business sustain?
It can't. So let's just say right now you can't. You can't correct. Fulfill two roles. You can't pay the $60,000 and the $85,000 yep. role and
perfect.
And survive. Right. You're just not able to do so, but I need to have I need all of the lower level role fulfilled and portions of the upper mm-hmm. level role fulfilled. Mm-hmm.
I do you know what saying? You're saying. I do know where you're going with this.
Not even a letter. No regrets. Right? No regrets. Not even a letter.
So as you're thinking about that, the question then comes into play. Are you willing to transition this person to that quote unquote new role and eliminate that other role, but roll into what that other role was? Now that role doesn't go away. Well,
it would be probably an addition, right? So here's where the hard part sometimes comes in is that person that you've treated as mm-hmm. the superstar isn't likely capable of fulfilling that next, there might be partially compensated mm-hmm. that next level up, but they're not capable of fulfilling all the requirements weird. Within there. But you've not defined all the requirements within there, but you can give them the chance to learn. You can give them the chance to support.
Isn't that how most of us were promoted to the role from which we next were moving to?
However, most of the time you didn't, if you were in a large enough organization, you were blessed not to have to take the shit with you that you were leaving. That 500, that
sometimes, yeah, that sometimes typical, no.
When we framed out the 500 to million and a half type organization.
You got to take everything with you.
There's nobody behind you to do the other things. You know, you're not going to get both people at this point, mm-hmm. most likely.
So it's what else? So looking at what I just do for me, it's fairly simple. It's looking at the different characteristics of the role or the different activities, key activities for the role. What's critical for success for that new role? Are there things that aren't as critical that, yeah, as we get to them, they still need to be done, but they're not as important that can then be pushed on the wayside. But what ultimately we're doing is we're re-level setting what that quote unquote entry level role is versus whatever that new role is. We're resetting what the wage expectations are.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. So that's where all of those things come into play. So in that frank conversation that we have of, hey, I don't have space to move you up in this current role. However, if you were to take on additional responsibilities, This is what those additional responsibilities would look like. This is what that role would transition into. And further down the line, as you continue to perform, you have the opportunity for financial growth as well. And what we're talking about is just re-level setting role expectations.
I don't disagree.
But a lot of conversations are not had at that level.
Well, and the owners aren't taking enough time to understand what that really means for them to figure out the importance of what's going on.
But if they did take the time, how much time and energy would they actually have saved by having that? You and I both know this.
Well, I'm just being able to manage and do all the other things. And,
right.
You know, that's why, you know, and a lot of this stuff, folks, comes out mm-hmm. of the book E-Myth. You know, this isn't rocket science. This isn't anything that all of a sudden, you know, the great gazoo that went to the University of Michigan is able to just pontificate from, right? So there are things that are going on. Did you say
the great
gazoo?
The
gazoo.
I know.
Flintstones, man. Right? So there are things out there. Like E-Myth is where a lot of this is coming from. And hybriding out through E-Myth, traction, yeah. other things. Make it your own deal. But at the end of the day, the biggest thing is really understand what the role expectations are along the way. And as you do that, you are going to find out that you will be also be able to segment the roles into an A, B, and right. C level, or 1, 2, 3, or entry, mid, senior, executive, however mm-hmm. you want to call your stuff, based on what can be done, whether it's supervisory or quality or production rates or whatever those things might be. Now, all of a sudden, you're in a situation where, oh, I do know what the difference, I can truly identify what the difference is between yep. $16 an hour employee is and a $28 mm-hmm. an hour employee is. And I can clearly communicate to the $16 employee how to get to $28, which is what you need to do in order to bring Gen Zs into the workforce exactly. to begin with. So it was mm-hmm. a long circle to get through that. But Mr. Gazoo, as always.
Well, thank you for indulging me.
Right, so as always, I greatly appreciate it. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, please go check out. We launched our new website, bluecollarbs.com. Yep. We also launched our BSers mm-hmm. community out there. So, you know, we've launched a community that if anybody wants to be part of, you can learn more on that, what that all looks like. If you want more of this and those ideas and conversations and tools and templates, we can make that happen. So, again, Mr. Doyle, thank you so much for the conversation today, and stay warm in Detroit over this last few weeks of February.
Well, thank you, sir. You have a good one as well.
Yep.
Later.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.